Hey, I want to read a Christmas scripture for you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and morning were the first day. And God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day, and God said, 'Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear,' and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good." Now, you may be wondering, what kind of Christmas scripture is that? Now, did it just start raining harder when I started? Because it looks like it. I think that's God's veto power. He's like, okay, enough. This is a monsoon, Matt. Now, you might be wondering, why am I reading Genesis chapter 1, the first 10 verses? You may or may not know this, but 40 years ago, tonight, at about this time, Apollo 8 was orbiting around the moon. And as they came up and they saw what they called the Earth rise, the Earth rose up against up above the moon, and they were able to have radio contact with Earth again. At about this time, those three astronauts, their names are Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders, announced to the listening world, "Hey, we have a message for you. We have a message for the people of Earth." And then each one of those guys began to read three or so verses of Genesis chapter 1, one after the other. 40 years ago, this is the anniversary, Christmas Eve, 1968. Amazing thing. And they read that to the largest television and radio audience in history. Pretty amazing thing. You can go to NASA's website and actually download the movie of it. They're kind of making a movie of looking out at the sun and some stuff. It's an interesting little movie. It's all staticky and you know, it's whatever. Whatever that is, 100,000 miles away. But here's what kind of got me. The reason why everyone tuned in that night, the reason why the people on the East Coast stayed up late, is because they said, "Wow, a message from outer space. A message from 100,000 miles away. This is incredible. We've got to hear this message. We'll stay up. We'll tune in. We'll get on the right channel." Now here to me is the irony of this. Irony. The first is this. Immediately when those three astronauts got back to Earth, they were sued by Madeleine Murray O'Hare, the famous atheist. She sued them for separation of church and state right when they touched down. She lost that lawsuit. However, NASA, because of that, said, "From now on, astronauts, don't mention Jesus. Whatever you can do, you know, you can fly and risk your life, but don't mention Jesus." What was really interesting to me about this was this, and I didn't know this until I started reading about it. In Apollo 11, when they landed on the moon for the first time in that Sea of Tranquility, and Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin got off and stepped foot for the first men on the moon, you may not have known this, he wrote about it, Buzz Aldrin did, in his biography. His church had given him this special little communion cup and communion set. And he said the very first thing he did, he had to go radio silent because of Madeleine Murray O'Hare. And he said the very first act he did on the moon was to take communion. And he said, "Isn't it interesting that the very first cup poured and the very first meal eaten on the moon was the Lord's Supper?" How interesting that is to me. That's the first thing that's a little ironic to me. The second thing that's ironic to me is this. Here are these people, Christmas Eve, many of them stayed up late, tuned in. Got to hear this certain message from above, the certain message from space. We've got to hear this, and it was on Christmas Eve. And I thought, boy, isn't that missing the greatest message ever given to us? Isn't that missing it? Yeah, that's pretty neat that they'll read Genesis 1, chapters or verse 1 through 10. That's interesting. But there was an even better message given to us thousands of years ago. And that's the message that we should be celebrating, right? It's called Emmanuel. God is with us. Paul puts it this way. Great is this mystery that God would manifest himself in the flesh and come and dwell among us. That's the greatest message ever. That's the message to tune into. That's the message to get your brain on that channel. That's the message that God would give his son for us. Amazing gift. Now, I love to get gifts on Christmas. Now, I know that's not politically correct. It's correct to say I love to give gifts. But quite honestly, I love to get gifts. I love to give them too, but I love to get gifts. I'm a gadget guy. Give me a gadget, I'm all for it. Right? Men? Power tool, whatever? But here's the deal. Tomorrow when all the presents are unwrapped and there's stuff everywhere, there is going to be many of us that are just a little bit disappointed. You got the bargain rack one, didn't you? Thanks. Oh, that wasn't exactly the model. That was last year's model. All right. There's always just a little tinge of I really wanted that and I didn't get it. No one's fully happy after all the presents are opened. No one's totally satisfied. There's usually a little bit of disappointment. I heard this one, and this one cracked me up. Talk about a disappointment. This gal, she was entering into midlife, and so she told her husband, this is what I want you to get me for Christmas. So she wrote on her Christmas list there on the refrigerator, she wrote to her husband, she said, get me something that will make me sexy and beautiful. And so on Christmas, she expected to open up some clothes or something, and instead she opened up a new exercise machine. That's a little disappointing. Men, take note of that. There's laughter. Don't do it. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. Jesus Christ will never disappoint. When you understand the message and the relevancy that was given to us 2,000 years ago, when you understand that message, you will never, ever, ever be disappointed. Because Jesus says this. He says, I love you. And more important than that, he says, I'm going to keep you. See, we can say we love people, and down the road, you know what? They do something, and we don't love them anymore. But Jesus says, I love you, and I'm going to keep you. In fact, Matthew 28, right around verses 19 and 20, says this, I am going to be with you until the end of this world. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, he says this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's an amazing thing. Paul would say this, I have confidence in this, that whatever I commit to Jesus, he's going to keep it. Philippians 1, 6 just puts it this way. Great verse for you. It says this, I am confident of this thing, that he that has begun a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. That's the greatest message ever given. And so I want to simply remind us, I'm glad this is real simple service tonight. We kind of took out some stuff, in fact, to make it super simple, because I don't want anything to distract us from this message. I don't want the 40th anniversary of Apollo 8. I don't want the recession. I don't want anything to detract from this simple message, and it's this. Hebrews 12:2 says this, that we are to keep our eyes upon Jesus because he is the author and finisher of our faith. This season is about Jesus. And I don't care what December 26th might look for you. I don't care what February or January or March or I don't care what any of those things look like, because the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God created earth thousands of years ago. And guess what? He's managed to keep it on track. God created the solar system. He's managed to keep the planets from smashing into each other. He's managed to keep everything going like it's supposed to. Jesus says the same thing about you and me. Keep your eyes on me, and I'll make sure your life is kept on track. I'll make sure and get you where you're supposed to go. I'll be the author and the finisher of your faith. That's what I want you to take home today. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, the greatest message ever. He started it. He's going to finish it. And Edgewater Christian Fellowship, or wherever you're from, let me just simply say, trust Jesus. Trust Him. He started it. He started a good work in your heart. He is going to be faithful to complete it. Don't you know that? Trust Jesus. Amen? And Father, we pray that in this coming year, we would be men and women that trust You. That we would know that You are our God and we are Your people. That even as You said, that we are in Your hand and no man can snatch us out. And not only that, we're in the Father's hand and no man can snatch us out of the Father's hand. We are in good hands. So may we trust You even more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.